It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of cannabis. And have your specific questions answered by emailing jennifer@cannabama.com or text or call 343-0106. And now, for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome, everybody, to the show. I'm your host, the former owner of Cannabama in downtown Mobile. We used to be located at 558 St. Francis Street in downtown, but that ended 7 days ago. The phone number is still 251-255-5155 if you have questions, would like to talk to us, maybe get some clarity. We give you all we have, but we have very little. But yeah, we're located only on the air now. You can find us on Sweet Home Cannabama pages on YouTube, X, LinkedIn, Instagram, and right here on FM Talk 106.5 every Monday night at 7 o'clock. And tonight is our six-year anniversary of the show. So I'm really happy that we have my good friend Mandy Letkins here in studio tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce her. This is Mandy.
Hi.
And she is running for State Senate, and we're going to get to that in a minute. I want to get some current events out of the way here. Tomorrow night from 6 to 8 p.m. at New Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church, which is on Old Shell Road, there will be a Mobile Mayoral Forum. And so if you're interested in going to that, I'm assuming you'll be able to ask questions. We want to know mainly how they feel about HB 445 and legalization. So if you are so inclined, again, that's 6 to 8 p.m. at New Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. I believe it's Paul Prine, Barbara Drummond, Connie Hudson, and Spiro Chiriagatis. From 6 to 8, so definitely if you're feeling froggy, jump. We are closed, and I just wanted to explain why, because there are still shops open, but my lawyer spoke to the ABC board and to the DA in Mobile, and both of them told him that if we do not have a license from the ABC board, we cannot sell any type of cannabinoid product, and it does not matter that the licenses are not available until January. They can come in and seize our products, seize our money, possibly arrest us, and I'm not taking that risk. Not for 10% of my product offering and a couple hundred dollars a day. Can't even make payroll, pay the rent. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to risk needing a criminal defense lawyer because I have never broken Alabama state law in order to do business, and I will not start now. And I apologize for the people that are calling me constantly all day, every day, looking for direction, looking to see if we have anything to sell or if we're even open. I'm truly sorry. And I'm working on it. And we're going to fight it. And hopefully we'll fix this. But that is why we chose to close our doors. There are lots of shops closing and living on a fraction of their sales. We are not in a position to hold on in that way. And we're praying for our colleagues who are still trying to make it because a lot of us, this is our only source of income. I have had no income now for a week and no idea when that will change. So I would ask that you pray for us as well as we learn how to move through this new legal landscape. And I think the worst part of it is having to tell people over and over for the first time, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And they're desperate. They're desperate. They don't know where to turn. I've sent them to the few places I think are still open. I know that most of them are out of product anyway. I said it before a bunch of times. I'll say it again. The legislators in this state and the governor have zero concept of what they have done to us. And even if they do, they obviously do not care. And a lot of people are already suffering. I've had people call and say, my mom is in pain, and we don't know what to do. And I just have to say I'm sorry over and over again. I'm angry. Last week, you saw me cry. Yeah. Last week, you saw me weak. You saw me hurt. And now I'm pissed. And it's not okay. It's not okay. It's inhumane, and it's cruel, and it is unconstitutional, whether or not the judge agreed. It is unconstitutional, and this will not stand.
And I think that it's important that you talked about, like, you guys saw her vulnerable last week. And she cried, you know, showing how human you are. And this week you're upset. And it is important to feel all those things about it.
It is. That's part of the grieving process.
Exactly.
This is grieving.
And that is what is missing from these laws, this legislation, is the humane part, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was somebody standing in that press conference when they were talking about the raids that happened a couple weeks ago. And, mm-hmm. you know, I asked some questions that, you know, I just genuinely wanted to understand. I am a very logical person.
Right.
I want to know why.
Right.
And so I also like data and numbers.
Proof, evidence.
Yes. And that shows, you know, right? And so I think they're not thinking very logically sometimes. And they're also not thinking about context. So when they were standing up there saying, this isn't an attack on small business, well,
that's the only thing
not,
that got attacked.
Exactly. It may not be their basis for it, but it's what it did. It's an outcome of that. And they did not think about that, I don't feel like, and the effect. Or like you said, if they did, they aren't showing they care.
Right. No, we very plainly told them all to their faces many times. Our customers flooded these legislators. I had one legislator that I got to actually meet, and he said, I don't have to even read these emails to know that people are upset, because people don't email us unless
they're
upset. And
yeah.
the sheer number from this one legislator tells me all I need to know. And he's one of the few people that went to bat for us.
Yeah.
Because he saw his constituents were upset and he acted accordingly, which is kind of the job.
Right. I think that one thing, you know, I'm running for state senate, right? Mm-hmm. District 14. And I think one of the main reasons I decided to run for office is the lack of transparency, and also the fact that our legislatures and our leadership treat us like their children.
Mm-hmm.
We're not their children. We're actually their boss. And so
yes.
they're supposed to be up there listening to what we say. And even if they don't agree with it, go up there and say, okay, well, 70% of the people I talk to think that we need to keep hemp product and mm-hmm. we just need to work on some of the regulations. 30% maybe don't like it. Well, maybe let's work on some education for the 30%. The biggest thing is we're supposed to represent all the constituents in
right.
our state, and
yeah.
I don't see where they're doing that. They're just taking it very one-sided.
I didn't see any evidence whatsoever besides that conversation
right.
of anyone listening to their constituents, because Representative Witt penned two opinion pieces in the Yellowhammer News blog bragging on his bill, and I would see 400, 500, 600 comments on every article, not one of them in support.
Right.
There's no way he didn't see that.
Well, again, like you said, like I said earlier, I like stats. I like data.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on these online forums and say, okay, well, 40% of ages this use this
mm-hmm.
app, right? And then you look at the responses, and when 95% of them are negative,
mm-hmm.
that means something.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it is the exact data, but you're seeing those sorts of polls throughout.
It gives you a taste of what the people want.
Exactly.
And you take that and you go, okay,
you know,
I need to send out a back call to my district
mm-hmm.
and say, hey, people, I want what you want. So tell me what you want.
Right, and that's
a town hall meeting.
Exactly. You
do
need
a poll, something.
Yes, you need to hear and do surveys. That's I've seen a lot of candidates doing the surveys these days
mm-hmm.
asking, like, what is it you're looking for? And that's really what I'm trying to build my campaign on, is talking to people. And I may think I know what people want
right.
just by, you know, being in these situations myself, but until you actually talk to people
right.
and hear what they need, you don't know.
Right.
So,
well, and another problem is half of these guys have been in that seat for 40 years.
Yeah, you get complacent.
They
and you
are
forget
totally
that.
Out of touch.
Oh, yeah.
And quite frankly, some of them are getting up into their 80s.
And life is a lot different.
It is completely different.
And we need to work on they're not even going to be in the future of what's going to affect the laws we're making today.
Thank you.
And so we really need to focus on the people that are going to be living that, you know, our generation, I would say
mm-hmm.
millennial, you know, that sort of generation is kind of in the where we need to take the reins a little bit.
Well, I'm Generation X from the 1970s.
Well, you definitely.
But I'm actually a Xennial.
aren't you right on the cusp, though, right?
Yeah, I'm 78, so 78 to 82.
Okay.
Is that subcategory of Xennials. We grew up with analog, right. But digital...
It was coming into play.
Yes. Yeah. I used the internet for the first time my freshman year of college.
Well,
in 1997, because my roommate got a computer and an AOL subscription from her parents, and it made the screechy noise, and we had to have one of her friends that was older than us, and he was like an IT major, show us how to hook it up, and then promptly showed us how to look up porn. It was great.
Oh, my gosh.
We were just like, what is happening? But, yeah, I was 19 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
And my kids have no concept. When we come back from the break, we're going to get to know Mandy a little more. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. I forgot to mention at the top of the show, I have a cold. So if I sound funny and I've got a halls in my mouth, so I'm if you hear it clicking around, it's me trying not to hack into this microphone. So, but nothing was going to keep me from this interview tonight.
Yay, I'm so
normally
glad.
I would have said, we're going to do a rerun, but I was not going to miss this. And honestly, with the store being closed now, I have no clear path today to fund this show.
Right.
There's no show in the world like it, and it's more important for the people of Alabama now. But I paid for it myself, and now I have no income, and so we're going to have to get creative.
We are. I think that you can find some different ways, like I was saying.
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping we can, and I know that this show is important to the station because we're the number one, number two show all the time.
I think it's the awareness of spreading it because...
People enjoy the information.
Yes.
I've had people, there are people watching right now that have told me, I've never used cannabis, I don't plan to, but I enjoy the information.
And knowing and being more educated.
Understanding it and not fearing
it.
And if I have to have it one day, I know who to
go
to.
See, that is, to me, what is vital about cannabis is I didn't try using anything until I was in my 30s. And it was because I was, like we were talking about earlier before we started, kind of a, you know, I was the Christian good girl. You know, I didn't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, goody two-shoes all the way. Me too.
I didn't want to get in trouble. And I
exactly.
Didn't do,
first daughter.
Exactly. And I even told my daughter's dad, you know, I was like, in college, you know, he would dabble in it and stuff. And I was just like, no, I don't want anything that can ruin my future.
That's just trash.
Because I was working so hard to get out of
what We're a product of the DARE program.
Yes.
They did it. That brainwashing worked.
It worked. And totally. And so, but when I first tried it and then I started educating myself more on it, I was like, you know what? This is just like anything else I had to learn into and just see.
I had to be talked into it. And then when it worked and I couldn't explain it to my mother.
Yeah.
I had to learn.
Yeah.
And I still haven't stopped.
Yeah. So years ago, when I did start learning more about it, even before I had tried it, I was still very pro, you know, people wanting to use alternatives.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I was completely supportive of that. I just wasn't, you know, I hadn't tried it myself. But then once I did try it myself and learn more about it, I understood. Mm-hmm. And then even, another thing making me want to be a pro cannabis ticket, right? I want to look into legalization and all those sorts of things. It's because the alternatives. I mean, you see it in our prison system. You see it in putting people back on the streets for things. And like when we were at the hemp rally, you know, you talk to people every day. It's not just, you know, you have this idea of who a hemp user is or a stoner or all these sorts of things. It's grandmothers that were at that hemp rally, like, in their 80s. Like, I, you know, need it for my arthritis. And when I do it, I can get out in my garden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
It's also, you know.
Or knit again.
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard that
I mean,
much.
So it's also the dad who worked hard all day, and he can pop a gummy and be a better dad to his kids because he took that, you know, just to mellow a little bit. And that is the equivalent to a lot of people of drinking a beer after work.
Right, or a
glass
of wine.
Exactly.
It's totally acceptable
for
women it is. Say mommy needs a glass of wine.
And I used to be that mom. Like, I think when I was in my, like, trying to be a stay-at-home mom days, I even had a shirt that said something like, mommy needs wine time or something, or my bottle, you know, when I had three babies. Yeah. And I would drink wine. I did. Like, I remember posting photos on social media of, like, my wine glass for when my husband got home. And it was like, ooh. But then I would get hangovers and things like that. So I started trying gummies, and I told my aunt even about these CBD gummies. She gives her dog CBD. So the idea mm-hmm. of they want to put it behind pharmacies is insane to me.
Right.
That she couldn't order her dog's treats.
Right. You know? No, we sold dog treats every day.
Yeah. I mean, so the...
I'm so sorry.
The people who use this, the animals who use this product, is so vast. And I think that's what a lot of people miss out on mm-hmm. is that they have this stereotype of who uses this product. And it's totally not that.
It is not.
And especially in Alabama, I know so many people who use cannabis products.
I have a customer who's like 75, and his wife is in such a state that she can't even come with him. Mm. And he comes and he buys her gummies.
Yeah,
that he cuts into little squares, and he gives them to her for her pain. And at night, she takes a little more so she can
go to sleep and stay asleep.
And now that customer would be considered a felon because those gummies were 25 right. milligrams.
Exactly. That it's just, I think another problem with it. You know, we're talking about how earlier. There's no clear guidelines on anything.
No, we have received no information whatsoever from ABC.
You can't do anything if you don't know what's right to do.
And that's why I'm not going to jail.
Exactly. And so, you know, some people are just in limbo. They have no idea. They're stuck. And I think when it comes to, you know, making laws and legislation like this, they need to know what's going to A, B, C, D, all these answers, what's going to happen, and they don't.
I will tell you this, because I was there. Every time one of our bills was up, we were in Montgomery. There was about 20 of us, sometimes a dozen, sometimes less. But I was there every time. They knew we were there.
Oh, yeah.
We got up and spoke when we were allowed to, because they tried not to let us, and we bullied Melson until we got the 2 whole minutes. And what would happen is, the newest version of that bill would be walked into the room while the meeting was going on and be this thick, and we're supposed to be commenting on a bill we haven't seen.
Oh, yeah.
But we were there. We walked those halls. We brought customers from all over the state for a day and toured them around so that they could see it from their constituents.
Yeah,
they didn't want to know. Not one person asked me, what is going on?
Yeah.
What do you do? What are we getting wrong? How can we do this? Not one.
Because they want to act like this is the whole, you know, mentality they have with calling our president a father figure. I'm not mm-hmm. going to even go
yeah,
to saying
word.
That. I'm not going to say that. But it's like that. They have to come and take care of us. Well, I have news for them. We are adults.
Right.
We are adults, and we need to be in the conversation.
We're adults enough to pay taxes.
Yeah,
We're adults enough to have to work.
If I can buy a house, if I can go to work,
we don't pay taxes.
Exactly. If I can take care of 4 kids and run a business, and I think that I'm fully capable of talking about how a plant benefits me or not, and we need to be able to have a conversation about that. I think that's the biggest thing.
You know what we can't have a conversation about? What is Red 40?
Mm, exactly.
What is these 5-syllable words that are in our food?
They're attacking the wrong thing.
We're looking at something that God made, gave us sovereignty over in the first book of the Bible, chapter 1. And we can't identify 90% of the food we're putting in our bodies, but we're wrong.
Yeah. I think people fear, as you know, what they don't understand or what they don't know. But, you know, we talk about the new. So, obviously, what's affecting your business and a lot of other businesses mm-hmm. is the HB445.
Right.
But now what we're kind of transitioning to is seeing some of the newest legislature that April Weaver, SB1, is
coming out.
Oh,
yeah. She's ready to go for next year already.
She is ready to go. And
what
and
a go-getter, SB1.
They would
first out of the gate, congratulations.
You know, and it was literally, it came out the morning after our hemp rally.
Right.
And because I woke up to the news and I read it.
Isn't that a fun coincidence?
Yes. People, you know, those, it's kind of like the Taylor Swift song where she's like, everybody says it's not about me, but what if it is? Like,
right.
I felt like it was like, I just went to this hemp rally. I just announced my pro-cannabis, like, platform mm-hmm. and trying to work with business owners.
And boom, here's, and boom, SB1. Here's this SB1.
Well,
you know, SB1, I haven't read it.
Okay, we can actually
I know enough about it to know it's basically the same thing she tried to do last time, but it couldn't even get on the committee floor.
Banning THC
and putting CBD in pharmacies.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so, obviously, we know this is not good. And if you go and look at any of the comments, it's all negative.
It is.
So I did, you know, I actually made a response, you know, and said, I would love to speak to any of these constituents that are worried, because I would. It's mm-hmm. not like I would like to talk to them about the research. It's there. I think it's people are scared again of what they don't know.
Right.
They see people's kids getting, you know, involved. And I'm like, well, this is the same thing we would have dealt with alcohol, right? It's a messaging thing, right? So banning something, prohibition all over again is not going to work. And we know that.
Well, and
from history,
all that,
right?
Don't do drugs and don't drink and drive and drink responsibly on the Super Bowl. 488 people die every day.
Yes.
The health problems it creates, heart disease, liver damage.
Yeah, more people died of sugar. Mm-hmm. Sugar in Alabama last year. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous, like, the things that really do kill people, but then the things we get, and I think it's like they just harp on that because it can be a political issue too.
Right, right. I've noticed something, and I'm not from Alabama. But I have been here most of my adult life.
I've been here a long, long time, so I can tell you, girl.
I was 26 when I moved here. I'm 47.
Okay.
My children, this is the only home they've ever known. I've been here a minute. What I have noticed, especially being involved,
right,
is every year Alabama likes to pick at least one thing mm-hmm. that will piss off the entire world.
Oh, yeah.
And go for broke. And it seemed like this year they really wanted to top themselves.
Oh, yeah.
They because wanted to I read something today that said that they're going to go for it again to rename the Gulf of Mexico. And I'm like, why?
Why?
What is the point of that?
We have real problems. There's
why do we need a shark alert system? We don't have hospitals, delivery rooms, or pediatricians in 23 counties because we watched those stats come out when they bullied the midwives in the health committee, by the way. The doctors who believe
this is another ant hill for me. I don't think it's called an ant hill, but I think it's funny.
They bullied those midwives to the point that after a little while they withdrew their bill.
Oh yeah, because
it was disgusting.
Scare them to death, you know, and threaten.
Why do you not, if you're not going to fix the fact that there are no hospitals and pediatricians available? Why are you going to bully the people bringing babies into the world with not one death since they got legal? Stay with us. We'll be right back. More with Mandy Lekins. Stay with us.
Bye.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight we've been talking with Mandy Lekins. Ooh. She is running for State Senate in District 14.
She is
the opponent of April Weaver. Senator April Weaver sponsored SB 273 or 274, one of them, 273, I believe, in 2025, which was a total ban on THC and would put CBD in pharmacies only. And then right after our hemp rally in Birmingham, which Mandy attended, she decided to drop SB1 for 2026, and it seems like it's probably an identical bill. THC banned and CBD in pharmacies only.
Yeah,
I find it interesting, and I'm not here to make friends. I find it interesting that she is a nurse.
Yeah.
And apparently her husband works for Blue Cross Blue Shield. So I wonder who her donors are. I imagine they have...
It's all public knowledge.
I imagine it rhymes with Sharma.
On that note, I am completely grassroots. I'm not backed by anybody at all.
Yes, donate to
her
campaign.
By myself. But on that note, I think bringing this in, and like you said, her having that background, to me, I feel like she should be based in science and look at the facts that way. And if you look at data from like what actually kills people, like let's be real.
Oh yeah.
And so there's, you have, in that case, you have to know there's something else behind it. But so she came out with it, and a lot of people that were in some of the similar groups we are on social media sites posted in opposition, like on her public page that she posted it on, or her senator page. And I want to say, like, I took a screenshot and it was like almost 90% negative. And I didn't feel like anything, it may have been ugly. She, you know, she's sets the tone for her page, but
right.
it wasn't very much like in favor. Well, she mm-hmm. took it down.
Right.
So I don't
know.
Which is
not okay, because
no.
the people deserve to know what well, their fellow man thinks.
Yeah. And so I'm going to be honest, like I can talk to anybody, as you know,
mm-hmm.
and I can find common ground with anybody. We're all human and have a lot of the same struggles. So
right.
we can at least come together on something, bottom mm-hmm. line, even if we have to take open the, what is those dolls, the Russian dolls,
yes.
you know, the ego smart
nesting dolls. Yep.
Exactly. So again, with April Weaver, I am completely, you know, I said, let's have a town hall and talk to the constituents who are worried about it. I genuinely
right.
want to talk to them, because it's kind of like I've heard one of our friends, Marty
Shelper,
yes,
shout out to the ACC,
sweetest thing in the world. She said to me one time that she was at dinner with somebody who asked her, like, point blank, well, are you a drug user? Because she smoked. She was talking about cannabis reform. Mm-hmm. I don't even think she actually uses anymore, does she?
Yes, she does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't know how much. I'm not.
I mean, I don't know.
We've never. Anyway, so she said that the person asked her that, and then she looked at them because they were drinking a glass of wine and said, "Are you an alcoholic?" And
hey,
shut them up.
That's why I love her.
And it's true. I think let's base it in like real facts and data and what actually we know through history, right? So that kind of surprised me that she, I get the, you know, her constituents she's saying are going for this, but I would like to know more
which
what's
ones?
Behind it. Yes, and exactly.
Where's the proof?
I would love to talk to them.
90% of those comments were negative.
Right. I would love to talk to people. And if they have an issue, like, well, my kid ended up in the ER because they got this at school, well, let's talk about how we can prevent that. Like education, right? Like I was telling you, we were talking about earlier, there's so many things we can do besides just throwing it all out. And so those are the kind of things I would want to bring on my platform.
Well, and I don't think that they understand where kids are actually getting this, because one of the most eye-opening conversations I have had in the last few months was with my husband's daughter and her friend.
Yeah.
15-year-old girls in the ninth grade.
So you got like a first
idea. Yeah, because I was explaining to the friend
mm-hmm.
what I do for a living.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's a kid. She's got questions. I'm sure she hears her mother's voice
yeah.
going, oh, no. So I'm trying to explain to her what I did. And so they were like, yeah, we know kids that smoke pens on the school bus. And
oh
I'm like,
gosh.
What?
That's terrifying.
And I was like, wait.
As a mom of a 14-year-old.
Where are they buying? Where do your
yeah.
people from that you know from school, where do they buy it? Both of them immediately. Snapchat.
That is terrifying.
Want to pull my hair out.
Yeah.
Because I've lost my business.
Well, this is also a parental thing. This is also a, you have to
go on Snapchat and get the bad guys.
Yeah.
There's plenty of adults that will snatch your kid out of your house
yeah.
or send them drugs.
Again, this is there. We have to address the actual issues of where they're getting it, because
mm-hmm.
we could say the same thing about alcohol or even,
yep.
you know, not to be controversial or anything, but guns, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, guns don't kill people is
what people
say, right?
People kill people.
So you have to know to put that up so your kids don't get that.
Right, in the UK, you're probably less likely to get shot, but they will stab you.
Right, and I, you know, what I have heard from people when I talk to them and that, you know, about why they think we shouldn't have THC, which is very few
mm-hmm.
people, but some of the arguments are, you know, well, we've had an increase in ambulance and emergency room calls and things because people overdose and I'm like, well, that goes back to education too, because if they actually got it from the stores, like if I were to come into a store, be a customer of yours, Jennifer, right? I would come in, I'd be like, hey, I want something to relax. And you'd be like, well, let's talk about, okay,
right.
don't.
My first question is, are you looking for THC? Are you having
right.
passed a drug test?
You're educating them.
Have you ever used it before? If so, what is your typical potency? And then when I offer you my product, I say, try half.
Yeah,
whatever
exactly.
I say, whatever
educate,
you think you can
educate
handle,
people on
do
that.
Half.
But also, that's the point, is people are getting it and they're not sure of what, they're not educated on it.
It happens.
So they
all
take
the time.
Like one and then they don't feel anything and then they keep taking
another.
Them and they panic and they really probably just need a cheeseburger and a nap.
Right.
But they're scared because they've not been told that. Whereas when you, what do we see all over with alcohol? It's like, oh, if you do this, it's binge drinking, or make sure you have a designated driver. It's,
right.
That's what we do to cut down the
accidents. They put charcoal in your stomach to absorb the toxins, or they induce vomiting.
Oh, gosh.
There are things that can
right.
be done.
But I think it's just like with everything, there has to be education around it.
Right.
Education is power. That is how, it's exactly how we cut down on anything that has been abused in our society. But exactly, we just
I
need
did
to
get
have
an
the
education
around
to
it.
I did get an opportunity to sit with the chairman of the House Health Committee.
Mm.
And he looked at me and he said, well, your store is 21 and up, right? You'll be fine. I said, no, sir, I will not. You have no clue that what happens in our shops is nothing like what they're talking about up here. Nothing.
Yeah.
We do not sell to kids. We do not have a bunch of people laid out on the sidewalk.
And if we did,
we don't have that.
And if we did, if that was happening,
put me in jail.
I would be all about going and getting these people. I don't want people selling to my children. Again, it's just
I wanted a license for retailers in 2019 because I knew that somebody was going
to
come out here and be a jerk and break all the rules.
Right, and
just to make
hard
money
for everybody.
And they were going to come after the ones that don't.
Yeah.
And here we are, seven
well,
years
this is
later.
Exactly like why we need to be proactive in our legislation and in our government and not reactive, because all of this stuff started coming on the market and they don't have the tools to regulate it fast enough. They don't have the education of people who are the experts in this, right?
Well, and can we please
so that's why they're trying to go to the
alcohol.
Exactly. That's why
it's
they're trying to go to
alcohol.
ABC board,
right?
They're trying to put it over there because
it's not tobacco
it's
either.
Not, it's different. And I really think that it's being just pushed together, especially now. This is the thing. How many states is it legal in?
40.
When you're in a business.
40 states.
When you're in a business and something works, you take that and you replicate it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see what's working. Let's look at other states who are doing it right, who are having better
40
issues.
States have medical. I think almost 20 have recreational and 50 have
I think it's 27 have recreational.
Really?
I want to say it's
yeah.
27
I
now.
Knew it had grown.
Don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure it's 27. But a lot of these things, again, are things that I, you know, people would see, oh, you're a pro-cannabis, you know, platform candidate and think it's all like, I just want to throw pot out to kids. That
right.
is not
no,
it at all.
I've been accused of that too.
Yes, I want reform. I want people who want to be able to smoke pot after work, just like somebody who wants to be able to, you know, have a glass of wine. I just, let's have fair regulations. Let's make sure that we're doing things that come from facts and data and actually taking room for context. Not everything's black and white. We've got to have some context.
Well,
there.
And at what point do we stop legislating morals and autonomy?
Right.
If I want to go and buy a case of vodka right now when we leave and drink myself to death, no one is going to stop me. They do not care.
I think, I mean, it's,
and you cannot die with cannabis. You can't.
No, I mean,
the problem is we're meeting needs that conventional medicine cannot meet.
Right, and the affordability.
I'm tired of
that. Goes back to
this.
That goes back to the whole thing, right? Everything works together, and that is a lot of the reason. My whole platform, Access for Alabama, it's that easy.
Right,
we need
we
to
were
have,
talking about the midwives.
Right, we're talking about accessibility, right? So that goes back to healthcare, that goes to housing, humanity.
Which
treating
is another
people
huge
with
problem.
Yes, there's a lot of different issues, right? But they really do all correlate together. For instance, let's say that we do have a, you know, entire ban on THC. What does that look like? Putting more people in prison, filling the mega prisons.
Yep.
And that's also going to cost more money from us to fill that. But let's look at the alternative. We legislate it. We put decent parameters around it that, you know, we can compromise.
Protect small businesses
exactly.
and the public. And everybody wins.
Everybody wins. And you don't have the issue of people going to prison and us having to pay $23,000 a year per inmate. You know, things like that
and
that
just
you don't
imagine
even think
the
about.
Federal dollars. That's what they're in it for.
Yeah.
That's why they named it after Kay Ivey. She is a prison person.
Prison person. PP.
Yeah, I can't say the names I want to say.
Prison person.
I will. I tell y'all what. If one more person posts a TikTok video or says on my TikTok videos, K.I.V. will pass everything but away. Okay, get a new joke, y'all.
All right, if you've seen it four times, old. Everybody else has. Keep rolling.
You know what I mean? Make a Weekend at Bernie's joke something besides everything but away. I know it was funny the first 87 times, and it still gives me a little giggle because it's pretty funny.
No, it's,
but
I mean,
everybody
it's true, I guess, for
is saying
people, right?
That one thing, and everybody, we got to get rid of her.
And we
maybe
need to talk about
how.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the governor in Texas who.
Yes. When we come back from the break, we're going to finish with Mandy Lickens.
Yes.
Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
No, I'm not going to cry. Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Mandy Lickens, and we're having so much fun. I didn't realize the show was back on.
I know. 2 hours.
Girl, they would kick us out of here.
I think people would listen to us talk for that one, maybe.
Probably so.
We'll see.
Where were we?
Okay, we were talking about accessibility for Alabama.
Yes, I'm going to move that over there for you.
Thank you. And, you know, making sure that people have access to what they need to be successful and not filling mega prisons and not being, again, we're being reactive to an issue. We're not being proactive.
Well, when you said that earlier, it immediately came to me that in 2016, with the unanimous, including Senator Melson and all them dudes, unanimously voted for SB 393 because they specifically campaigned for this bill, saying that Alabama wanted to be on the forefront of the hemp industry, the innovators, set
because
the bar.
They
wanted
farming,
it all.
Agriculture, what is Alabama known for?
Right, we're
so
a farm state.
Exactly.
People in Colorado should be asking for that good Alabama-ish.
Yeah.
Okay?
But see, I have friends who are in the industry that live in Portland.
All over.
They grew up in Alabama.
They and
were
they
born
left
and raised
this
here,
state.
And they left this state.
And they're out there kicking ass and
making
taking
money.
Names.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere else that could have been here. That happens every day. I feel like, obviously, Alabama is just not caught up with the reality of the world.
No.
Sometimes.
Well, that's like the tax exemption for student athletes to get them to come here now that they can get endorsement deals.
Exactly.
And they don't have to pay taxes and they're going to promptly leave?
Oh.
No.
They're just doing everything they can to try to get people here but the things we want.
They
it's
can't
like,
keep
it's
them
like,
here.
Oh, you
Look
want
at the
cannabis?
Deal with the NASA program people.
Nobody
wanted to move to Alabama.
Exactly.
1,000 people. Nobody wanted to come here, and I wonder why.
Now, I worked before I got into jumping to start running for office, I have worked in corporate America for like 20 years in customer success,
mm-hmm.
in management. And I worked for one of the biggest employers in Birmingham for mm-hmm. a long time. It rhymes, I guess I can say it, Shipt. I mean, it's on my LinkedIn. You can see
it. Oh, yeah.
I worked
there
for years.
They got a big old building.
Yes, and worked there through the pandemic and everything. And obviously there, we're trying to recruit people to Birmingham, right, to work.
Right.
And it was becoming hard, I feel like. And that's why we had so many local, like, if you called there, it was like actually us customer service representatives. It wasn't, mm-hmm. we didn't use for a long time any kind of vendors.
Mm-hmm.
Now they do. But they were having a hard time, I feel like, keeping people wanted to move. And then when it became remote work, we had so many people, like me, I was just like, going all over the place. I would go to Seattle for 2 weeks and work. Because, I mean,
right.
I
work from my computer a lot when I'm traveling.
And so I think that we're definitely, people are not wanting to come in because of all kinds of, like you said earlier,
there's
about the
no health care.
There's no health care. And
the
that's
insurance
why
premiums are going up.
Right.
All anybody cares about is mega prisons and
exactly.
taking things away
that's
from
why
people.
My
and
entire,
there's no lottery.
My entire platform, Access for Alabama, it comes from, I am product that when you're given access to something when you didn't have a step, that it can help make you a productive member in the next tier. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I went to college. I was the first person in my family. But I would have not gotten to go to a college if it wasn't for the VA scholarship I got because my dad was in Vietnam. Because
mm-hmm.
I grew up in a struggling family. I wasn't given I wouldn't have never gotten to go.
Right.
But I was given that little bit of access, right? So I feel like the same for a lot of different programs throughout the state. We all need access to thrive, sometimes more than others. Some of these places, like you're talking about, maternity deserts. That's a huge problem in Alabama. I was at a March of Dimes event earlier this year, and they were speaking, and from 2018 to 2019, 220,000 pregnant women died in the state of Alabama. 220. Now, if we were on the news right now and I said, oh my God, 220,000 pregnant women this year or today fell into a canyon, it would be a frenzy.
Right.
But these are women because it takes them over an hour to get emergency care. Most of them were preventable things. The number one race that is affected is black women. Mm-hmm. These are things that we're not answering.
Right.
This is the problem.
Why are we okay with young women who are bearing children dying?
We don't give them the access
I almost bled to death in a delivery and lost a perfectly healthy 9-pound boy to brain death because of negligence. I had a hospital. I was there for days.
Alabama is one of the scariest places to have a baby in mm-hmm. the world, and we live in one of the, I mean, look up the facts. And why I say scariest is I had, you know, 3 out of my 4 children here. And I will admit, I had a midwife in Georgia when I had my oldest that had hospital rights. Like she could mm-hmm. come in and work in the hospital, and it was a much better experience. And I think that's because I got the personalized care.
Right.
However, we have a lot of great doctors, and I'm not saying anything about my others, but if you look at how long it takes people to get that care, how often people are put off is just like, okay, that's normal for pregnancy. Things like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't find out with my twins till I was 22 weeks pregnant because I just didn't, even with maternity care and insurance, like, they weren't looking for those things. So
right.
I think that's what makes it scary, is that you're not getting the care that you need because there's so many, the doctor-to-patient ratio is out of this world. And a lot of people are like, well, they can drive to Birmingham. There's so many places. Well, if they live an hour and a half out.
Not in your emergency.
I used to have a car with no air conditioner until literally like 5 years ago.
If I had had to drive to Birmingham from an hour away, I would be dead.
Exactly. This is what's happening. And you can look it up, and I have people that I have connections with March of Dimes, and I just was distraught with this information. And you say, well, how do you know what they were from? Well, that's why it takes a few years to get the data, because you're looking at pregnant women who died and what was the cause of that, leading mm-hmm. cause of that. Some of them were they couldn't get the emergency care in time. You know, it was too far away.
There's a whole lot of negligence that no one will acknowledge.
They may not have had health care. And that's what's sad, is you're seeing that. I mean, even in my county, Shelby County, which is very, very, I mean, I think a great place to live, but mm-hmm. we have a hospital, but there's no where to have a baby there. And because everybody's like, you can go to Jefferson County.
Right.
Well, there are people in my community that don't have cars to get there. So they have to Uber. They have to Uber to Birmingham.
And let's hope
UAB,
they have the $150 to do that. Yeah.
Pregnant.
Mandy, I hate to say this, but we are getting low on time.
I know.
I want everybody to know how to find you. So tell us how to find
you. Yes. And I also like to talk, so we both
do. I know. I got to do a tribute real quick.
Yes, I know you do. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
You can follow me more. You can go to mandyforalabama.com, Mandy with an IE. And you can also find me on TikTok, same Mandy for Alabama, Instagram. And definitely, if you're interested in volunteering or knowing more, fill out one of the forms, and we're going to start a newsletter soon, an event calendar. I'm always somewhere.
And I would like to publicly invite April Weaver to have equal time on the show. If she would like to have some of these discussions, I would be overjoyed to be able to ask her directly. But before we go, I have to honor my friend. He's been on the show many times. His name is Daniel Jones. He went by Waxy Brown. He was the only other FM cannabis radio show in the country out of Missouri for a while. Waxy Brown's Flower Power Hour, and my friend died. I just found out this morning. This is his drink, Can of Biz. He was on the show in September when we talked about addiction recovery because he wanted to create a product that people like him who were former alcoholics could have in a bar or a party setting and not feel left out and be able to help with his social anxiety and feel included. Waxy was a Marine. He served his country. He served over 2 years in prison for cannabis, got out, and won city council seat.
He's badass.
He owned the first consumption lounge in Missouri. He's a fantastic, fantastic person.
Jesus said that one.
And I just want to honor my friend Waxy Brown, ask you to pray for his family. I don't really have any details, but this man was a giant for the cannabis plant, for veterans, and for people like me. He even helped me out on the show, figure out how to stream at the same time.
We're going to keep going for people like him.
We're going to honor him every time, but I just want to say to my friend Waxy, thank you, man. They don't make them like you anymore. And I don't know what happened, but you are going to be so greatly missed, and we love and appreciate you. And I thank you guys for listening. Again, you can find us for now and hopefully for a long, long time. It's our six-year anniversary. Thank you, Mandy, for being here again.
I loved it. Thank you for having me.
Every Monday night at 7 o'clock on 106.5, and you can find us on social media, not on Facebook. I got to figure that one out. They do not like me over there, neither does Instagram. But thank you. God bless.
Bye, guys. Thanks.
You guys, God bless Alabama Hemp. And God bless Mandy Likens.
Yeah.
Vote for Mandy.
Yeah. Bye, guys.